Hi, this is Elaine with the Imagine Momcast, and I am here with the Girls Get Real, Laura and Laisha. And if you haven't listened to us before, we have 15 kids between all three of us and 20 years of parenting and have been alive on this earth as women for, I'm not going to tell you, but more than 40 years. I will say that. So hopefully we have something to share with you that's going to be enlightening and awesome. So today we're talking about being the best loser ever. So we're going to jump right in, and Laura is going to tell you about something that we all did together that has involved a lot of losing. Something she roped us all into.
Yeah, quite a few years back, it was Adventures in Sports is kind of what I like to call it. I suckered my friends into going down to the Kansas City Soccer Dome and playing an indoor women's soccer league. And none of us really knew what we were doing. But we were just like, hey, what the heck? Let's give it a shot. And we proceeded to go down every week and play women's soccer and lose every game.
And we kept coming back.
We came back year after year, week after week, to show up to lose in the game of soccer. And I tell you what, it's been a blast. I've learned so much about soccer and about friendship and about just not taking myself seriously, showing up week after week, year after year to go lose at soccer. And my husband, one point in time, said, how can you go do that? You invest so much time and energy into something that you're just bad at. You go
and money
and money,
money,
and
right?
Money. We're paying to lose.
And you know what? I think that we all learned it's not about winning in soccer and in life. So,
yeah. And actually that, Laisha, for you too as well, I believe we had never really played soccer before. Had you ever played?
Oh, no. Nope. Not a day in my life.
Yeah, me neither. So Laura said, come join the soccer team. And we're just like, sure. Yeah. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'll show up. I'll do anything once. I might not come back. And it was crazy because, so she put together a team, and so we had a team for, a few weeks. They have these sessions, and then after a few weeks, it ends. But then we didn't have enough players for a team for the next session. And so we ended up kind of on a total fluke, getting together with this other established team that was already there because they needed players. And thank God they were a losing team too. So we hit it off immediately,
right? They won one game that session that we were, our very first session, the only game that they won was against us because we lost every game. So when the worst team solved, we went and joined the second worst team to make the new
two losing teams merge.
Should have put out a press release.
Seriously. Well, I also think it's probably really necessary to explain indoor soccer is very different than outdoor soccer. So if you've never played soccer before, that's one thing. If you've never played indoor soccer, it is so much more physical and fast paced. So you have to be ready to chuck bodies up against the board just to get to the ball, either slowly or violently, however it works. That's the game. And so it ends up being a lot of fun because it's such a good outlet, but like with no skill whatsoever, you can at least try and make it work. Because you know the results, you know the end results. So
exactly. And maybe that's, why we loved it so much, because it was so different and just so physical and so fun. And once you're out on the field, like, it's not like baseball where you're just kind of hanging out. Like, you're on the field, you are going.
Oh my gosh. And the subs, if you don't have enough subs, you're like, I got to run for how long? Oh man.
But yeah, so I think that what we've, you know, we've learned a lot from the A, that the losing, which is that we realized that at least for our team, it was more about the experience.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that also, I mean, not that I like, cause like there's teams that come down obviously that are really competitive and I admire that. Like, I think that is totally awesome, but there's just something also about this whole, like, hey, we're all like at least out of college. So there's like a big swath of ages. It goes all the way into like people in their 60s. Right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we're at least out of college. So it's like, hey guys, we aren't going to the Olympics. Like,
there's no pressure for scholarships here.
Exactly. Like, if you're gonna like cannonball the ball into my head, which has happened, by the way, mm-hmm. like I'm just walking off the field because
that's right.
We had this one team that was so bad. They were so fierce and so mean and just so like aggressive that every other team in the league signed a petition to try to get them out. That was the team that hit me in the head, like cannonballed me in the head. And I got cannonballed in the head like as soon as I got on the field.
Yep,
literally, it was the very beginning of the game. Like, I didn't even, like, I walked on the field and they blew the whistle and she hit me in the head.
Well, I think what stinks about teams like that, though, is they are completely in the wrong league. Like, they have different levels of leagues where you can go to a more competitive league. And I think we played, like, we had people kind of come in and out of our team a lot throughout when we were playing. And if they were too good, they knew right away, this is not the right team, nor is it the right league. So you can kind of tell who's going to be a natural fit for your team, because if they don't like losing, you're on the wrong team and you're probably playing in the wrong league. So, and they would naturally just go up a league, which is great. Like, your days are not Wednesdays, your days are Tuesdays. And so, like, when you're up against those violent or like really elite teams, like, they got to know their place. Like, you can score 40 goals against us, but what is that to you? That's not competition, nor is it fun. That's just shooting practice. Well, you could do that anytime for free. Like, get off the court. So, and it sucks all the fun out of it, because it's like, I remember one team, they came in with all of their like marathon runner sprinters, and you could tell all of them had played soccer before. And one of them, I think, like, chucked me to the ground, and I'm sitting here going, so I just stopped running after her. I'm like, girl, you're so fast. Just keep going. Like, I'm not chasing you. Like, especially if you're going to manhandle me all over the court, like, I'm not even competition. So I just stopped chasing her, because I was like, you seem to be having a lot of fun. You could have just played by yourself. So like, they look so stupid, because I'm like, you obviously are new to this league and you don't know who we are. You don't realize you're going to be up 10 points and we will still have zero and we will be fine.
So you know, like, why is that okay,
losing or winning?
Because they losing.
Sucked. Okay. Losing. Yeah, because we had a great time. Why is it okay to lose?
Yeah, I mean, like,
oh my gosh, we had so much fun.
It's all about fun. It's so much fun. It's because I don't know that it's like, we don't try to lose. Obviously, we're going to go out and play. We're not trying to be like,
every time we scored a goal, it was like the Olympics. We're like, oh my gosh.
I know. It's almost like we just reestablished our own definition of winning. Winning to us didn't have anything to do with a scoreboard. Winning to us was, did somebody get a goal? Did somebody have a great pass? I think that we were just way more supportive of each other. And the friendships, there's just, I don't know, there's a camaraderie that is different. It's different when you're in the trenches losing together than, I mean, everybody's happy when you win, but in order to find joy when you lose, I think it's just more challenging to find the joy. And when you can find joy despite the score, I think that there's a lot of growth there. Like, it's more of a grateful sport. It's there's gratitude, there's character.
Well, we would cheer on the winning teams too, especially if they had a great shot against us. We're like, oh man, that was really great. And I think, like, I remember a couple of the teams even like said, we really enjoy playing up against you guys, because yes, not because we're just winning, but you guys are a lot of fun. Like I remember Joe, when she was goalie, when she had a couple good shots, I would yell at her and I was like, why did you block that shot?
Yeah, she was the goalie for the other team.
Yeah. Yeah. And she would apologize. Sorry, doing my job. But it was fun playing against people like that, because I think like we all brought our A game. I mean, our game was a little like lowercase A, but
A minus.
It's in the lower tier. I mean, but we didn't set out to lose each time, which I think. Oh, here's a question. Did you all get better while you were playing?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
me too. For and sure. I thought that was the fun. Like I could see my growth on the field, and like I thought that was a lot of fun to have little baby steps or to be better at passing or like to have a rocket shot. And you're like, I don't even know how that happened.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that part of the game.
Well, and also like I remember one time I was there and there was so it's all women, you know, on Wednesday nights when we played. So women's league, like sometimes there's kids in the dugout, right? Because we would all bring our kids if we needed to and nobody cared. I mean, there's like an arcade kind of thing out in the lobby area. So the kids would either run around there, or if they were like younger or whatever, they'd be in the dugout. And there was one time where there were so many kids in the dugout that we could barely hear ourselves on the field. And then this one little kid threw up. I think her mom was trying to keep her occupied with candy or something. And it didn't go well.
That was awesome. Yeah. And oh, I would be so mad when my kids were sick and I had to miss it. I'm like, you can't be sick. It's Saturday night.
And do you remember the one of our players had a son that had Down syndrome, and he would always come and cheer us on. And at the end of the games, he would always say, "The game's over. Purple team won
every time."
Even though we never won, he'd always say that.
That's right. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, and I think like. I also think it was a really great outlet to like, because it was a really fast paced game and you were always sweating or working your butt off regardless of if we had subs or not. And I think it was just such a great outlet to have a place to try really hard, to run really fast. And I guess cheer people on. I didn't go there to cheer people on. It just ended up happening. But then like, and everyone was in the same boat. So it ended up being just like a really good, healthy outlet to, like make friends. And I mean, how random were all of us ladies together? I mean, we had more Mormons on that team than.
I don't think there were that many.
Yeah. They kept recruiting. They kept recruiting. Yeah. Yeah, they did. Anyway, but I thought it was like, it was such a good stress reliever. And then I end up looking forward to it every night because I just had fun and it just really wasn't about the scoreboard. And it was really just about playing together. And like when certain people would show up and you knew they brought a skill to the team, it was fun, you know, and you were a little disappointed if they couldn't make the next season or whatever. But it was like random people coming together and working as a team. So I thought that was a lot of fun. I've never been a part of that before where you're just randomly putting people together and seeing how it works. So,
well, and I think that like this whole, like, you know, so we didn't, none of us started doing this until like, we were probably 40, close to 40.
No, we were younger than that.
Yeah. We were younger.
Gosh, yeah. I'm still playing. 30s, so I don't know how many years it's been.
Oh, are you? That's so good, Elaine. It was late 30s. So I bet I was like 36 or 37.
I know that our kids were, let's see, were they little? They were
because Ava started playing with me at the end when she turned like 15 or 16, maybe. So, okay, I mean, and she wasn't old enough or big enough to play in the league when we started. So,
yeah.
So late 30s, I bet.
Well, so like just pointing. Oh, go ahead, Laura.
I was just saying, I think it's been 10 years because my Brooke is about to be 25 now and she played on the team. I don't even know if she could drive. So, mm-hmm. so it's been at least 10 years.
Gosh, that's crazy.
That we've been playing on there.
But I just like, I just, you know, want to encourage other women, you know, that like, look at this. I mean, we had kids. I mean, we all had a ton of kids at home when we started doing this. So it wasn't like, you know, it was just easy to get away. Like you either, you know, they stayed with dad or you brought some of them or, you know, they stayed with older siblings or whatever, but we did it, right? We just kind of tried it and did it. And then, like you were saying, like the team was comprised of like women of all ages.
Yeah.
You know, like I like women that were young, women that were older than
us. And it was also a team. I think another reason why I really enjoyed it is it was a team where you could literally invite a stranger or your neighbor and go, oh my gosh, you just got to come out. You got to come out. I don't know how many people I invited to come play.
That's so true.
And yeah. Then they were like, I've never played a day in my life. I'm like, neither have I. That's not your excuse. So I think, it was all welcoming and whether someone came or not, like even, I think I had a friend one time and they were like, well, I'll come and watch one time. And she watched and she was like, yeah, I would never do that. and she was like, well, good for you for losing so well. And I'm like, well, it is what we do. So, but I mean, just being able to invite other women, it didn't matter what walk of life you're from or how athletic you were, you could just invite anyone. And it was like, come on, just get on the field. We need a warm body.
So, I mean, I think like, have you guys done other things as well, you know, that where you just tried something? Because I feel like when we get older as women, like we tend to, especially in athletics, I feel like a lot of women I know, they're like, oh, well, I did that in high school. And they don't really consider that they would do anything athletic now. Like they might go to say like, you know, a workout class or something, but they don't think about, oh, I would join like a co-ed softball team or, you know, I would, you know, do an indoor women's soccer league or I would, you know, start rollerblading at 35 or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's super important. I got to tell you that I tried volleyball for the first time because I had played soccer at the Soccer Dome and I tried volleyball for the first time, shoot, just a couple of years ago. So I was in my 40s and I never played volleyball in high school. I didn't like volleyball. Volleyball was the reason I got a B in PE one time because of volleyball. So I hated volleyball. I had it in my head like, no, that's the GPA crushing sport. I will never play volleyball. I will never like it. But I got invited to play volleyball and I thought, well, I lose every game at soccer and it didn't kill me. So yeah, I can go lose some volleyball. turns out I really still super duper hate volleyball. It's my least sport, but it's okay. I know that now, you know, the mystery is solved. Hey, there's no one. I hate volleyball. I can say that with confidence.
That's so funny. I'm on a sand volleyball team now through my work. And
oh, cool.
We are just the best losers ever. And my team captain, he's like, the goal is really just about progression and growth. I'm like, well, we're growing. So it's actually so much fun. But we, again, the expectation is you just show up, like bring whatever skill level you have and like just have fun. There's a couple people who are really uncomfortable with it and are still like, oh, I'm so sorry, I made a bad shot. And I'm like, well, mm-hmm. I'm sure the other team is really high and nobody really cares. So so I think, yeah, Laura, you're
so
right.
True. I know we've played some drunk teams for several times.
So drunk. And I think I'm more likely to try different sports because I just show up to have fun. And I know right away if it's the wrong team for me, because if they're bringing like a super intense, like we got to win every game and like they can't handle when people make mistakes, I'm like, I'm on the wrong team because this is not why I come here. I don't want to be uptight on the fields, you know, over every silly mistake when this is like, I'm not getting paid for this.
Yeah.
if I get injured, like I'm out like for the next month recovering. I got to tell you, I tried bowling one time and we were bowling with some friends and, my husband, when he starts to win, he gets like warmed up, or it takes him a little while to get warmed up. And then once he starts winning, he's like, we better play another round. So we were bowling and we were on like our second hour of bowling. And I'm like, you know, my hip is burning so badly, I can't even bend over anymore. So the next day I was in so much pain. I end up having to go to the chiropractor and like taking like ibuprofen for a month. I was so injured. So now bowling is off my list. Can't do it. I was bowling injured.
Laura conned me into co-ed softball. That was a one season wonder for me.
Really? Oh, I love softball.
You do?
That's I conned you into softball too, Laisha.
You did.
Being my team captain.
Yep. Sign us up because we were like, heck yeah. We want to join the softball tour.
Yep.
So, you know, just to encourage people that are listening, like I was never athletic in high school. Like I did nothing in high school that was athletic. I didn't do anything outside of high school that was athletic either. I was an academic nerd. I was a little bit of choir, you know, touch of drama. Right, language, so you know,
don't you think like a fine wine, you're getting better with age, Elaine?
Well, it is kind of crazy because like I think it took me a long time of trying things as an adult to actually finally kind of say to myself, hey, I think I'm actually an athlete, you know what I mean? Because I never saw myself as that, like as a young person or even as a young adult. And so it was kind of I guess I just always consider myself just sort of a amateur, sort of playing around, you know, which is still true. I am an amateur playing around, but I do think that I realized I just really like, you know, sports and just kind of having fun and just getting out there. Like, I don't love watching soccer on TV, but I like playing it. Like I don't love, you know, watching, you know, like, football, but I'll get out there and play flag football. You know what I mean? Like, I love playing games with kids. I love just playing PE games. I go over with the kids and we play. We've been playing pickleball up at the. Oh, so we good. Figured out that the local tennis courts they're like lined also for pickleball. So we've been doing that. And, you know, we go up to the local elementary school and they have a gaga ball pit. I don't know if you guys have played gaga ball yet. But
super intense.
Love it is. And you know what? You have to like bend over. It's like dodgeball, but in this square or this octagon that's only like 3 foot tall. So you have to play it off the ground. So you're like bending over all the time and jumping around, trying to dodge the ball and like hit people and stuff. And I just keep thinking to myself, man, if I just keep playing this game and up into my 80s, I'll be awesome. That'll be great.
Totally good. But I think that also, keeps us young a little bit, young in spirit, young in body too, that we keep trying things without the expectation of trying to be like superstars at it. Mm-hmm. Because I probably would put myself in the same boat where I wasn't super athletic. I just wanted to join sports stuff so I could hang out with my friends and like socialize. I didn't really have any like ambition to be better, like letter or go to state. I'm like, that sounds like a lot of work. Thanks. So I think as I got older, the priorities changed because it's a really good physically, mentally great outlet to just, I guess, better myself, push myself someplace that I never would have otherwise wanted to, I guess. So I don't know. I really enjoy all of these different sporting events just because I don't have any like expectations of meddling or like
grandeur.
Yeah, no, not nothing. Just like, oh, I'm doing it because I can. Or I'm doing it because my friend asked. Like, it's just there is zero, that like there's zero like craziness about it. And I don't overthink it. I just show up and participate. But I think when you participate, it brings a different level of buy-in, because if it was just on TV or if it's just my kids, I really wouldn't care that much, because sports should just be about fun and hobbies and just being healthy and not anything else. Like everything else just seems like, it just seems like it could go awry or become like some kind of idol in your life if it were anything just more than just participating.
I totally
and I know all of these A-type personalities are like, these women are stupid and I hate them. And that's why you need to be out of my league.
That's fun. So I gotta say that I think that losing, or just like the lack of fear of trying something that I don't know how to do, translates into other aspects of life. I'll tell you something that happened. My son has one of those VR headset, and VR headsets are not cheap. I mean, maybe they're cheap for you guys, but that's like a $380, $400 deal. And it broke. And so,
oh shoot.
Yeah. And I said, well, shoot, kid, you know, and I got to thinking, maybe I'll just do a little bit of troubleshooting. And I got online and tried to find out how to fix it, because I like to fix things. And then realized I wasn't going to be able to fix it, but I did kind of get the idea that maybe the battery's bad. So I ordered a battery for this VR headset online before I even looked at the procedure for how to take this thing apart. But okay, so long story short, it's really, really hard to take this apart. And I could have been overwhelmed, but I thought, you know, what's the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen is I'll lose. Like I'm used to losing in soccer. The worst that could happen is I won't get it right. And that's okay. I can do this and get it wrong. So the battery came and I switched out the battery and the thing actually powered on, which it wasn't doing before. So in powering on this VR headset that wouldn't even power on, it wouldn't even charge. And that's how we kind of figured out with some tips online that maybe that's what's wrong with it, is it needs a new battery because it wouldn't even charge. So now that I get it powered on, it turns out that it's probably the motherboard. So I got one of those on the way and we can stay tuned to see how that works. But the thing of it is it's a little part here, a little part there. Maybe I'll get it right. Maybe I won't. There's a small fee associated with these parts, but when it's all said and done, I will have replaced the cooling fan, the heat sink, the motherboard. And you know how much I'm out? I'm out $100.
Oh, wow.
New VR headset's $400. So the worst that can happen is, it's a $100 experiment. I lost $100 and I've lost. And maybe I'll have to go, you know, trash this thing. But there's not a whole lot to it. It's got to be one of those things. And if I replace all of it, then it's going to work. It's got to work. Maybe it won't work. It might not work. But the thing of it is, I don't know. I don't care, because it's not about bragging rights. It's not about saying I win, I conquered this, I beat this. It's about, I have the confidence to try something I've never done before, to try something new, and to be okay with not being good at it or to not being perfect at it.
Right.
And it takes, because I think in soccer, we all started there. We all, and I want everybody to know that even though I was the one that suckered everybody into playing the sport, I was never good at it. I played rec league soccer from fifth grade to seventh grade. And then I, you know, ADHD kicked in and I chased a different rabbit. So, and that's in soccer. I think I went and did cheer. Doesn't translate into athleticism much. Same sport.
But I think what you're saying about like not being afraid to, basically, I mean, like I've done some speeches on this actually, but it's like being scared, but doing it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
And it makes me a better counselor to my kids too, that when they're experiencing losing in whether it's their friendships or sports, that I can at least speak to that, right? Like, okay, so let's look at all the positives that are happening even through our losing. Let's look at all the lessons that we've learned through our losing. Let's look at how we can be better through our losing. And that is really important because our kids don't have, they're almost taught that if they don't win, then they can quit. If they're not amazing and great at everything or whatever they're trying, then they can just quit. And it's like, well, no, that's not how life works at all. Like at work, if I'm not good at something, I can't just quit. I mean, I guess I could, but then I don't have a job. So you know, the stick-to-itiveness and like the character that's built through trying, try and try again. Even through the, well, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. Okay, so figure it out. Like, what do you need to improve? What do you need to do? Or even just the mindset of what lessons can I learn through a loss? Like my daughter was at a volleyball tournament this weekend and the team really fell apart when they knew they were not going to lose or when they were not going to win. Mm-hmm. And you can see the huge dynamic between the team of those who were going to fight through the loss and those who were like, we're going to lose, we quit. And they physically and mentally quit. So the other players had to pick up all of their weight. And my daughter was more frustrated and upset about them mentally quitting than she was even mad about the loss, because it's almost like their character came out. And then they became like bad losers. And I was like, well, you could have lost really, really well. You could have lost as a fighter rather than as a quitter. And so it was really interesting how she was more upset about them quitting than she was about the loss of the game. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, especially like as an entrepreneur, you know, cause we have our own business, that I think I'm just realizing how, like, I mean, businesses, like, they're just wading through all these things, figuring it out. Like you think like they've got it all together, or people call us because they want customer service, you know, and they'll ask these questions, or like, say, they'll say, well, I saw the website and such didn't make sense. And then you look and I look at it and I'm like, you're right. It doesn't make sense. Or they'll ask a question. I'm like, I have no idea what the answer to that question is. Let me get back to you. You know, like I was at Home Depot the other day ordering some things. We got some deck furniture. So it was kind of like a big order. And so I wanted to put it on credit. And I just thought it was awesome because they had no idea whether the current sale was 6 months zero credit, 12 months zero credit, or 24 months zero credit. So they had to call like the credit people, and the credit people were like, not sure either, but they were pretty sure it was 12 months. And so they gave me, you know, the 12 month financing, but I just thought it was awesome because here's this like huge company that doesn't have their shit together, you know? And like, it just made me feel so much better. Like, you know, we don't always know what we're doing. Oh, and then like, I'm in, you know, do a lot of marketing and I see marketing from these companies and I'm like, they are just throwing stuff, spaghetti against the wall, trying to make something work. Cause that is terrible. But that's what you do. I mean, you're like, you know, the people under you're like, well, should we run this ad or this ad? And you're like, that one looks good to me.
And then you have to pivot, right? So when you learn that an idea is a loss or this is not where we want to go, then you just change it up. Like that's how people learn when things work and when things don't. And I think we have lost the art of risk taking because we think like the first time we try, it's going to be successful. It's like, for who? Who does that ever happen to? Like, and I'm trying to get my kids to be more risk takers and I'm trying to convince myself, like, it's okay to be a risk taker. Like mistakes happen all the time. You just gotta like suck it up and then have a secondary game plan. because I think that's what separates people, is the people who accept losing well, and then the ones who are like, nope, we just got to cut that arm off, it doesn't work. And it's like, that's so extreme. Like, that's not how the world is.
But isn't or maybe it, it is. I maybe feel that's like it, how it's, the world it's is. Hard to reprogram yourself, because I feel like growing up, you're kind of like, you know, you go to school and you get the grade, and it's always about the grade, or it's the test, and then you did get on the test, you know, or there's always some kind of like sure thing, like you got it or you didn't get it. But like, you get out of school and you just realize like, there's not a whole lot of that going on. I mean, right. You know what I'm saying? And especially like it, I think it definitely happens in work, but it happens even more as a parent, a mother, a wife, you know what I mean? There's just so few like check marks, right? Where you're like, oh, I did this and I did this good. You know, like you're potty training your kids, you know, like it may work, it may not work. They might be pooping their pants for the next 5 years, which is what happened with some of mine. You just hope it eventually goes away, but
yeah. So Elaine, you bring up a good point then. So like, what's your motivation behind doing things? Cause I think you bring up a good point. People don't try things, or they don't like losing, because it goes against their purpose or their drive or their motivation. So what's your motivation when you do things?
Well, I think when it comes to parenting, at least, you have to think about it more like a coach. I mean, because you're not, it's very hard to determine whether you've won, right? Or whether you've accomplished something. So I think it's more about, like you talked about, you guys have mentioned, like character building, you know, like learning, having fun, teaching them how to be a good team player. And you hope in the end they'll, you know, be good citizens and love Jesus, right? But you don't have control over all of that. So I think the motivation is that to me, it's that you did the best you could and you looked back and you hopefully didn't have too many regrets, you know? Like, at least you made a lot of the decisions you thought were the right ones, even if, you know, in hindsight, you know, that you have to see what happens, I guess, to see if they were the right ones. But I think in work, you know, I think it's a little bit dual, because on the one hand, I feel like you can mark things a little bit more with goals. You know, you can accomplish certain things, or you can reach certain milestones. So that's nice, because you can kind of see whether you made it or not. But then there's just a whole lot of, are you enjoying the ride? Because if you're not, did the milestones matter that much? You know? So what do you guys think?
No, I think that's really true. The ride. I think I love that. The path. Like, it's so with winning and losing, it's with always with the end in mind. What's the final score? Did I win this? Did I lose this? I can't lose. I have to win. And I think that what you said is beautiful. It's all about the ride, the journey. I mean, how many times do you see cross-stitched on a pillow, you know, happiness is found on the journey, not at the end of the road. And you just kind of want to gag when you read something like that. But it's kind of true though. Like, as nauseating as it is to read it on a, you know, a motivational poster, it's true. Like, how did you get there? The fun along the journey. I also think with winning and losing, it's kind of like, and with motivations, Laisha, you talked about what motivates you. I think that we all have to really check our hearts. Is pride our motivation? Because if we only want to win, that's pride, you know? Is it really healthy competition, or is it the fear of looking bad in front of others? And that goes into parenting as well, because how your kids turn out, we might view that as a measure of our success as a parent. If we are a good parent, then we have good kids. And if we were a bad parent, we have bad kids. Is your kid hooked on drugs or in jail, or, you know, have a lot of different kids with a lot of different
dads. You know what I mean? Just like,
it's success in parenting isn't that. It isn't a win or lose thing. It isn't how well our kids turned out. There's so many different measures of success, and it's all on the ride. You know, you find those little successes on the ride, on the journey. So I don't know.
Yeah. And I just want to segue that into saying that if you haven't got my book yet, it's called Mom of Six Dies Laughing. And I think you're going to love it because I do talk about that, how parenting is, you've got to laugh at yourself and you've got to laugh at your kids and you've got to just have some fun, let go of the mom guilt and ditch the overwhelm. And I give you some super, super practical advice from my 20 years of parenting so that you feel totally related to, totally understood. And you're going to come away laughing and just feeling like, if Elaine can make all these mistakes, then I must be doing a really good job. So you should definitely get it. Go to imaginemom.com/book. That's Imagine Mom with an E at the beginning instead of an I. imaginemom.com/book. It's called Mom of Six Dies Laughing. So yeah. So what you were saying, Laura, and I do want to say with parenting, I mean, kids, the thing about anytime you're dealing with any kind of relationships, I feel like whether it's kids or your husband or your friends or your coworkers or whatever, you don't have control over people. You know, yeah. Like they are going to make their own decisions. And so ultimately, yeah, you can't really control what your kids are going to do. And I have known kids from all walks of life, you know, kids that were in horrible situations that came out great and kids that were in amazing families that came out terrible. And it definitely wasn't in neither one of those situations did really the parents have that much effect, you know, because of the choices that child made, and you just can't do anything about that, you know.
So. Well, that's a really good point though, and I think that goes into like the art of losing well is you can't control a lot of things, and more importantly, you really cannot control the outcome, not only in life but like in our kids and sometimes in our job. And if you aren't able to adapt and overcome and learn from the losses, it ends up becoming like kind of a tragedy that you can't overcome or that like pigeonholes you. And so I think that was what I learned is I like on the soccer fields, being with another team of losers, I can't control how someone receives that ball. I can control how I pass it. Sometimes I can't control that. So sometimes it was knee jerk, but like, I can only really be responsible for me. If I were really excited about learning a new trick, I would go home and practice a little bit, or I'd be more motivated to practice with my kids when they were outside. But really, I was only responsible for me on that field. I was responsible for showing up. I was responsible for having a good attitude and for like being supportive and being a good teammate. And that was it. Like the score was left, I guess, up to the heavens. And I think that was a lot of fun because, you know, I couldn't control the level of skill on the field, but I could still just bring my best game each time. And I think that taught me a lot of I'm really not in control of a lot of things in life, but I am still responsible for me. I'm responsible for showing up. I'm responsible for having a good attitude. And if I suck at something, it's really up to me if I want to practice and do better. And I think that just translates to so much in life because I think we have a really bad delusion about how much control we have. Mm-hmm. I think we've really fooled ourselves that we have more control than we do. And I think that's sad because it takes away a lot of the fun lessons and the fun that we have over losing. And I, And I enjoy losing because I think it really brings out different parts of people that you would never get to see otherwise. Like Mormon Monica. Mormon Monica, I've never heard her swear so much. But when she was on that field, she'd drop an F-bomb like nothing. And then she'd apologize. I'm like, oh, I'm going to report that to someone.
Well, and you know, it's funny because like on soccer, it's like, it's not that big a deal, which is nice to have that outlet, right? Where it's not that big a deal. Because like right before we got on this conversation, my husband was telling me that I'm ultimately responsible for something at work. I have another person under me that's working on it, but it didn't get done. And I was like, oh shoot, that didn't get done, you know? And I was feeling like really bad actually before we got on this call. Cause I'm like, you know, like I didn't get done. I don't know what happened in the process where it fell apart. Like how diligent am I going to have to be to make sure this gets done? Or is this, you know what I mean? Like there's so many times where it is hard for me to lose. And I think it is kind of a pride thing. I mean, I think on the one hand, like you definitely want to have goals, right? And you want to believe that you can achieve those goals. But on the other hand, it's a balance because you have to be able to accept that you're not going to win all the time in order to get to those goals. You know what I mean? You have to kind of swallow your pride and be like, well, yeah, I sucked at that. And now what can I do to get better in order to get where I want to go or to help other people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love this illustration. Do you guys remember the movie Christmas Story? I don't know if you've seen Christmas Story.
But the one where he gets his tongue stuck on the pole.
Yeah.
Shoot your eye out.
One of my favorite scenes in that movie is it's the difference between envisioning what you can do and how it's going to be versus like the reality. And he's, you know, he's thinking, he's turning in this essay, the theme. And he's thinking about, you know, oh, Ralphie, A++. You know, mind, he's like a star. He's just like, everybody's celebrating how great he did on his theme. And you know, I very real moment. Sometimes I think about that. I daydream about myself being so awesome and I'm A++ing it. And then my theme comes back and it's like C+. Oh no, you know, but, and yeah, your world kind of comes crashing down. Like this is kind of like a loss. It's not an F, but C+ is pretty dang close for me. And then you have to swallow your pride and you have to say, you know, I know what I did wrong. I'm going to fix this and I'm going to keep at it. This isn't going to be the end of me or this thing that I'm doing, but good. I got knocked off that A++ cloud I was on. And, you know, we're going to move forward. So, yeah.
Well, I heard something too that I thought was so cool. Like I never heard this before, was the envy monster. Like if you see someone and you start to envy them, then you should like take that as a sign that you want that. Because like, so just to give an example, like let's say, you know, in soccer, if we see like somebody who's like amazing, right? We don't really envy them, right? Because we're just like, that's cool. I admire her. I'm glad for her. You know, if she needs to get into another league, that's awesome too. But like, I just know that I'm not going to go home and practice an hour every day because I just don't really care enough about this, you know? But like recently, you know, I talked to a friend where she's like, yeah, I want to start this other entrepreneurial thing. And so I'm going to spend 2 hours a day on it and get it off the ground. And I felt envy, you know, like, man, why do I envy this person? Right. Why? Instead of being like, oh, I admire that. That's cool. I wish her the best. You know, it was like, man, she's going to go do that. And I'm not doing that, but I wish I was doing that. You know what I mean? But that's a really good thing. Like instead of being upset, you kind of just check yourself and think, well, if I envy that, then that means that I, I do want that. And now I need to think about what steps do I need to take to get there? You know, like I do need to think about the actions, you know, that I need to take in order to incorporate this, you know, into my life.
Sure, sure.
But I, you know, I thought it was cool because it wasn't. You both
bring up a really good point because. Go ahead, Nellie.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Hmm. Well, both of those have everything, like both of those scenarios have everything to do with humility. And we tend to avoid situations that require humility or teach humility because it really goes against our human nature. And, or the ugly comes out, right? Whether it's the envy monster or whether it's, you know, our delusions of grandeur. but either which way, life teaches us humility through losing or through not getting our way, or it doesn't meet our expectations. And I think there is a fine art in learning to navigate that, where humility kind of becomes a badge where you can't say I wear humility like proudly, right? I too am incredibly humble. but really that is really the mark of a Christian, is that we are humble and we can walk in humility in everything that we do. And I just think that's a really important lesson that only losses can teach you, or constantly putting yourself in a vulnerable state where I don't know how to do this. Like that is really humbling, or I'm not good at this and I don't even know how to get good at that. That's humbling. Mm-hmm. And I just think that is a mark of not just Christ's character, but us wanting to be more like him if we can accept those positions and learn through them and brings people along with us or be the encourager during those moments. Cause I think that's what I saw too on other teams that were really, really good, is they also weren't as, I don't want to say they weren't supportive. Their support looked different. But when there was a loss or a mistake on the field, you felt tension more than you felt like encouragement from the other team, you know, like, oh, you let your teammates down. And that's that wasn't the atmosphere that we created on our team, right? Like we cheered each other on, losing or winning, mistake or not. And so that it was just a bit different, but I think that mark of humility is really important. And I think if we lose track of the scenarios that teach us humility, we don't value them as much. And I just think that that's a loss for us.
Yeah, 100%. Good stuff, Laisha. Very good.
Well, yeah. And what you said, I think too, is really powerful. Like I don't know if I really thought about it, but about, you know, the fact that we were, that was one of the things that kept you coming back, right? Was that people would encourage you no matter what. There was, you know, camaraderie and fun no matter what. And that's a little hard to find.
Oh, for sure. Agreed.
I mean, to be in a group of women, it's just like, you know, hey, good job, you know, high five. We had a lot of nicknames for each other, you know, like just goofy stuff where you could just, you know, not feel like you're on the stage. Right. And I agree. Like I do admire the team, but to be honest, most of the teams that we played that are really competitive are not very nice. I mean, I don't know if that's a fair like assessment, because I don't think it's bad to be competitive at all. Like, I think that you can be competitive and be positive and be like lifting each other up and getting everybody on the team to do better and to be better and to win. And of course, winning is awesome and it is exciting and fun. But it is disappointing sometimes to see like just the aggression, you know, like some of these teams have. That's just like, it's just not very beautiful.
No, and some of them were like, I mean, I remember playing a few colors and you're like, oh, we got to play them today, because you knew what was going to happen. It was going to be an ugly scenario. They were not going to be nice about it. They were really aggressive. And most of the time you'd run alongside them and then you just step out of the way just to avoid just to avoid getting your face kicked in because they may not have been purposely aiming for it, but most likely you were going to get nailed in the face. So anyway, and some people were nicer than others, I guess, but yeah, there are a few teams that were just nasty about their winning and could care less of how great of losers we were.
Well, lastly, before we kind of, you know, wrap it up, I did want to say that, like, I have always thought that you two are so amazing because you've always, like, kind of been fearless about just stepping out and trying new things, like, even in your careers, because you guys have just done a lot of, you know, different things. Like, I felt like you were never afraid to just switch or try something.
Bless your heart. I've been an electrician since I was 18 years old. So I'm saying
that is not totally true. She's not giving the whole story. She bartended for a summer just for the heck of it.
Just for funsies.
Funny, and I needed closer to good booze, but yeah.
And she's done tons of organizing of athletic sporting events, softball. She's the one that got us all into soccer. We did volleyball.
You're always involved with something, Laura.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the ADHD coming out, you know. No shame there.
And you were, and not only were you an electrician though, but you were a nuclear electrician in the Navy. So it's not like you just like.
Not like you were installing lights.
Outlets in all your
super cute. You guys are too cute. But Laisha, she's the one that's very not afraid to try new things.
You have done a lot of different, very different careers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always been out of necessity and usually because I was belittling somebody else.
Oh, yeah, I got to hear that story.
Well, so this is going to sound terrible, but I have always been upset when someone can't do their job well, right? Especially if it's going to cost you money. So I actually ended up becoming a realtor because it was really hard to find a good realtor out there who could do what we needed them to do in the time that we needed them to do it. And so,
okay, so now we're seeing you're not competitive in soccer, but in everything else.
No, it was more about, I can do that. I can do that too. Let me do it and let me do it better. Because the need for good, ethical, high principled people is real out there. And I didn't want to be a multimillionaire. I just wanted to be dependable. I just wanted to be good at what I did. I just wanted people to have a good experience when they're around me. I didn't want to upsell them on anything. I'm just like, I want you to walk away from this experience thinking we made great decisions. Mm-hmm. And because that's all we wanted. I didn't want, every time we would come across somebody, a salesperson, they always were trying to get in our pockets. And I'm like, but you're not listening to us. We don't have that kind of money to spend. So either you're going to invest in us in the long term to find what we need, or I can't work with you. I don't want to feel like I'm guarding my pocket around you all the time. So I entered into that business because it was going to financially benefit us. And I had free time. And I really wanted to push myself into a different territory because I knew I was never going back to teaching. So it sounds mean, like I was doing it mean, like to be mean spirited, but I really needed to take the risk for myself to not stay stuck because I was really struggling with staying stuck.
That's a big deal.
So I think I've always been a risk taker like that, where I'm afraid of staying stuck. I'd rather take a risk.
That's awesome. I don't even know if I knew you did real estate, but you did some other things too. Didn't you work for your sister?
Yeah, that's how I got into recruiting. So my sister needed help and I was like, I can help. I'm a good helper. But she actually
you should
needed
see me at
to
soccer.
Be... I can assist like nobody's business. But she actually needed me to be her secretary. And she goes, listen, I need to hire family because I can't fire family. So if I hire you, you know, like I won't fire you. So you should probably work for me. So I'm like, I don't know if this is a winning deal. Okay. Oh, so I tried it just kind of as a, I was, according to her, I was the worst secretary in the world. I think she just needed someone to read her mind. I can't do that. But I end up being really good at recruiting. And so, and it's a little bit more of a customer service type of role. So it's not like I'm a nuclear scientist or a nuclear engineer. I mean,
but that's still so cool to just like, you know, just sure, I'll try that. You know, that's how I felt like when Laura was like, yeah, I'm just going to work at this, you know, restaurant this summer. I'm just like, oh, okay. Sure.
I just think if the opportunity presents itself, I think I've never had a risk involved though. So I can't talk like I'm like, I won't like pretend like I was in a position where this was a really big risk.
Like financially, you had to like put money into something and like.
Yeah. Or like my family was depending on this. I was in a position where it was very low risk. Mm-hmm. Worst case scenario is I invested, you know, $2,000 in a real estate license and it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Worst case scenario with working for my sister is it didn't work out and I would.
Yeah. Oh, I think we lost her.
Uh-oh. Wasn't afraid of taking a loss. So it really wasn't that big of a risk. So looking back on it now.
Well, that's awesome. Well, you guys are amazing. And I hope that, you know, everyone that's listening to this has gotten that message, you know, take some risks, go out and try something new. You don't have to be perfect at it. It's okay to lose. It could be fun. If you hate it, just move on to the next thing and it'll be okay.
Move on to volleyball.
Move on to volleyball.
Oh, anything but volleyball.
You don't have to be an athlete to be athletic. You know, you don't like, for goodness sakes, I'm in this business, you know, where I'm doing marketing and I'm paying taxes and I'm just doing bazillion things I've never even done before in my entire life. So if I can do this, so can you. And if it all falls apart, well, you can work at McDonald's, I guess. So
that's right. They pay a lot.
All right. Thanks, gals. Have a great night.
Good night, you guys. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Good night.